Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? It's great to see each and every one of you here this morning. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway Church, and we are just so thankful that you are here. One of the things we do every single Sunday is we have a lot of people who listen to our messages online, and they're able to get the message portion of our service through our podcast on our church app. And so let's give them a big welcome. Let them know that we appreciate them so much. Well, I have the distinct privilege here this morning to make an announcement that everybody loves. So everybody say October 14th. October 14th begins one of our favorite series here at the Lifeway Church, At the Movies. So I know that you guys all love it, but here's the thing. This series isn't about you. I hope you get something out of it, but it's really not about you. This service is really designed to help reach people and help be an easy entrance point into church, because everybody, you know, most everybody likes movies. And so when you walk out today, you're going to get a gold envelope just like this. We even went ahead and put a stamp on it. Inside the envelope is a postcard that looks like this. On the back, there's a place that you can write a note. And so as you walk out today, I'd love for you to take one of these, jot a note to someone that you'd like to invite to come and visit us here at the church. Now, here's what I want you to understand, is if they visited the church before and given us their address, we're already mailing them one. So this is supposed to go to someone that's never been here before. And then we've got these little tickets inside. You can actually grab those and take those. We printed, I think, 2,000 or 2,500 of these. So take as many of these as you want. Every time you go get gas and somebody's pumping gas next to you, give them one of these tickets. When you go out to eat, invite people. This is going to be an amazing, amazing series. And I know you guys are going to love this. So that actually starts 2 weeks from today, is at the movies. And so what we do, for those of you that might be new here to the Lifeway, or newer here, not here last year, when Jesus walked the earth, basically what he did is he told stories to illustrate biblical truths. And so we just think there's no better storytellers today than those that are gifted in the arts of cinematography. And so what we're going to do is take four films and show different clips of those films. Each week is a different film, and bring across some spiritual truths for that. And I know that you'll absolutely love that and enjoy it. It is one of our favorite series here at the Lifeway Church. So all of you will grab those and make sure to take as much of that as you want over the next few weeks, and invite someone to come. Also, tomorrow is the first, but this is the last Sunday before the first of the month, and so in your service guide, you also have a SOAP outline. That's our Bible reading and journaling campaign. Love for you to be a part of that with us. If you don't have a journal, we've got some at Information Central, and some of our team, if you want more explanation on how that works, they can tell you. All right, well, we're going to jump in this morning. If you've got in your service guide, there's a sermon outline. Love for you to pull it out, follow along with us. There's some places that you can take some notes, and there's most of the scriptures are on here, and you can just follow along with us. I'm going to just say at the beginning, I know we've got several guests, people that I've just met earlier this morning, and this is a pastoral message today, and I'm just going to give that little bit of a disclaimer here, but I believe that God wants to speak to all of our hearts through this morning. This morning, we're going to continue the third week of our Follow Me series, and I am super pumped about what God is going to do here this morning. Our key verse for this series, we've read it every week so far. It's found in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, and this is what it says. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me." Everybody say, "Follow me." "And I will show you how to fish for people." And so what we've been doing throughout this series is we've been looking at the life of Jesus in order to discover what it means to truly follow him. And this is really important as Christians that we begin to understand this, because being a fully engaged follower of Jesus enables us to influence and change the world in which we live. Throughout the Gospels, we read stories about how Jesus valued people. That's what we talked about in the first week. And last week, how he connected with people personally. Today, we're going to look closely at how Jesus served others. But before we get to that, when Jesus came to earth, there's a lot of amazing things that he did. But one of the things that he did is he completely changed the narrative on what leadership was. True leadership would no longer be about titles or position or being born into the right family or even the amount or the quality of education that you may or may not have achieved. Instead of all of those things, Jesus pushed all of that away, and Jesus showed that true leadership is servanthood. Over and over and over again, we see throughout Scripture, Jesus exemplified that when we selflessly serve people, there's an amazing thing that happens, and what happens is we gain the privilege of being able to lead them. And so in the Gospel of Luke chapter 22, the disciples had just finished partaking in what we refer to as the Last Supper. And this occurred right before Jesus would be betrayed and right before he would be falsely accused. And what I want you to notice as we read through this passage is that the disciples were extremely position conscious. They were really busy comparing themselves against one another. Anybody here ever compared themselves to somebody else, right? You know, I'm better looking. Yeah, I can sing better, right? And so I want you to look at what it says, Luke 22, beginning in verse 24. It says, "Then they began to argue amongst themselves about who would be the greatest among them." Verse 25, Jesus told them, "In this world, the kings and great men lord it over their people, yet they are called," I kind of like to use air quotes here, "friends of the people." Watch this, verse 26, "But among you, it will be different." In other words, Jesus is saying here, from this moment on, I'm going to change the rules. I'm going to change the narrative. Watch this. "Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves?" The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. Not in the church, not in my family, "for I am among you," this is Jesus speaking, "I'm among you as one who serves." And I think this is so important because right before Jesus was about to be crucified, he takes the time to teach and lead them away from horizontal thinking to a vertical thinking perspective when it comes to leadership. The disciples were fixated on position, on who was most important, while Jesus was fixated on serving those around him that was in need. And so Jesus is really saying, "Hey, in my last few minutes with you, I want to show you what really matters." And so this morning we're going to talk about the traits of a servant leader. The traits of a servant leader. In John chapter 13, there's another version of the story that we just read. It's incredible. We can glean so much about what it takes to be a servant leader. We're going to just pick that up starting in verse 1. It says, "Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to the Father." I want you to pay attention to this next phrase here. "He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end." It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And so the first trait that we can see from servant leaders, number one, it's the first blank in your outline, is that they are motivated by love to serve others. They're motivated by love. Hear me this morning. The foundation of serving, the foundation of what we do as a church, is love for other people. And so we're about to see Jesus right before he would suffer, right before he would be beaten, right before he would carry the cross and give his life on Calvary. In this moment, he was literally carrying the weight of the sins of this world upon his shoulders. And in his most difficult hour, in the hours leading up to his most difficult thing, Jesus placed others before himself. And this wasn't the only time it happened. As you read through the Gospels, you can read about it over and over and over again. Matthew 14 records a terrible time in the life of Jesus. He had just been told, his disciples had pulled him aside and had told him that his cousin John had just been murdered. A bad day, right? Not the kind of news that any of us would want to get. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus heard the news, he left to a remote area. In other words, he wanted to get far away so that he could be alone. Anybody ever been there before? But the crowd found out where he was headed. And scripture tells us that people from everywhere, from the surrounding towns, begin showing up. And I want you to watch this. Verse 14, Jesus's cousin had just been murdered the same day. And it says this, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat and he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. Jesus didn't insist on a sabbatical. He didn't tell people, you know, I just don't have time today. You don't know what's happened in my life. You don't know what's going on. I'm hurting. Would you just please stop being so selfish? Would you just minister to me? Come on. My cousin was killed. Let me bring it to 2018. He didn't say, Pastor, I'm so sorry. I just need to step away from serving. I'm just tired. I just need to be fed. Now Jesus looks around and he sees the crowds. He sees the needs around him and he makes the choice to not focus on his own emotional needs, but instead he makes the decision and he chooses to meet the needs of others. A few weeks ago we had a leadership meeting. I believe it was Tiffany who said in one of our meetings, when it comes to serving, some people have lost their why. And I want you to hear me this morning. When you lose your why, I promise you, you will lose your way. Listen, what we do here at the Lifeway, we set up, we tear down, we're outside on below 0 days. We're unloading carts every Sunday morning at 7:30 in the morning, just like the post office. Rain, sleet, snow, heat, it doesn't matter what it's doing. The team is out there. Why do we do it? Because we love people. We love reaching those who don't know Jesus yet. We love seeing lives transformed and changed by the power of God. We love teaching children about God and how they have a great hope and a future, that there's a better way to live than all the nonsense they see at school and on TV. We love seeing marriages healed and addictions broken. That's why we do it. So servant leaders are motivated by love to serve others. Let's read on in our story, verse 3. Jesus knew, everybody say he knew, that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and that he would return to God. Here's the second trait of a servant leader that we can take from this story. Number 2, they are secure in their identity. They're secure in their identity. They know who and whose they are. Jesus knew his calling. Jesus understood his purpose on earth. And as a church, I want you to hear this. Costenzi already said it. This is our identity. We exist as a church to help you do 4 things. We exist to help you know God, to find freedom, to discover purpose, and to make a difference. Every single thing we do here at the Lifeway is to help you in one of those 4 areas. And it's just sad to me because so many Christians, their journey begins and ends with simply knowing God. You know, they'll come in and they'll cry a tear and they'll raise their hand and say, all right, yes, I give my life to you, God. And then they just live their whole life holding on for dear life. And Lord, I hope I make it till you come back for your church. But God has more. That's important, but he has more. And so some are able to move from this knowing God phase to a place where they start to find freedom in their lives. But I want you to hear me this morning. As awesome as knowing God is, and as incredible as it is to find freedom, your best life will only be found when you discover your purpose. When you discover the reason that God created you and you begin fulfilling it and you begin using your gifts to make a difference. Listen, I promise you this morning, you can get every single promotion at work. You can get a new car every year. You can get bigger homes and take exotic vacations. You can max out your 401k. You can make more money. But without walking in your God-given purpose, your life will be empty and it will never, ever make sense. And so that's why if you've never attended or completed Growth Track, that's our process for helping you discover your purpose. I want you to join me next week right after service. We're going to start with step one. We start all over again next week. It's a 4-week commitment, and I promise you it'll change your life if you will see it through. I find it interesting in Scripture that 2 times you'll read about a basin being used. One of them was this passage that we're reading about and reading through with Jesus. And the other time was when Jesus was being falsely accused in front of Pilate. And so what Pilate does is he takes this basin and he ceremoniously puts his hand and he washes his hands to signify, I've got nothing to do with this mess. I'm clean. I'm innocent. I don't want to have any part. Pilate refused to have the backbone necessary to stand up for what was right. He didn't want the fallout. He didn't want the pain. So he put himself first and he refused to lead. But Jesus, on the other hand, he picks up the basin and he puts others first. Servanthood begins with security. I am secure in who I am and what I am doing because I know that God has called me for a purpose. Only the secure can stretch and activate their faith. God, I know I don't have everything all figured out. God, I know that I'm not perfect, and I don't know where the provision is going to come from. I don't know where we're going to get the people we need to pull this off. But nevertheless, God, I know that you've called me, and regardless of the consequence, I'm going to stand up tall, I'm going to have some backbone, and I will activate my faith, and I will serve those you've called me to serve. Only the secure can stretch. And only the secure can stoop down low to a posture of servanthood. You see, secure people are into towels. God, where can I be used? God, it doesn't matter. Whatever you have for me, Lord, I'll do it. But insecure people are into titles. Secure people are people conscious. God, if I don't reach that one you love, then who will? Well, insecure people are position conscious. Secure people want to add value to others, while insecure people want to sit back. They want to chill and they want to let somebody else take care of it. Secure people want to serve. Insecure people want to be served. So servant leaders are motivated by love to serve others. They are secure in their identity. Going on in our story, John 13, verse 4. So he, being Jesus, he gets up from the table. He took off his robe. He wrapped a towel around his waist. And he poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. And when Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will. No, Peter protested. You will never, ever wash my feet. And Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. Simon Peter exclaimed, then wash my hands. Lord, wash my head as well. Lord, not just my feet. In other words, wash all of me. Here's the next trait of a servant leader, number 3. They are willing and available to do whatever needs to be done. They're willing and available. For you to understand the magnitude of what we just read, I want to give you a little bit of history, a little bit of context. In Jesus' day, when they walked the earth and went about town and ran their errands, there weren't the nice paved roads like we have today. They were really little more than hardened dirt paths because people had walked over them so much that the dirt got packed down. And so that means that those that had wealth, those that had means, they would ride horses or donkeys or perhaps even camels. But most of the people would simply just walk around. And so there were no street sweepers like we have today. And so as these people were walking down the street and then these people were riding their animals or maybe as the donkey was carrying a load from one end of town to the other, these animals would have to relieve themselves in the road. And I don't want to be gross here, but you can imagine in the hot sun, things begin to dry out, right? And so this stuff would get trampled and the dust of this stuff would begin to be kicked up into the air. And as you walk down the street wearing sandals, your feet and toes would be covered in this dirty grime. And so it was a normal thing that when you went indoors in that day from being out in the city and going through town, the lowest ranking servant would meet you at the door and they would wash your feet. And they would do this so that this disgusting grime that's comprised of dirt and dried up feces and who knows what else wouldn't be scattered all around the house. How many think that sounds like a pretty good idea, right? And the fact that Jesus got up to do this menial task lets us know that for whatever reason, there was no servant available that day to take care of that job. I want you to understand, Peter wasn't opposed to having someone wash his feet. He was used to having people wash his feet. He just didn't want Jesus to do it. And so I can imagine as they walked from out of town and into that building that day, they're probably thinking, all of them, hey, wait a second. Nobody's here to wash our feet. Like, it's been hot out, and I've been sweating, and man, where's the person to do this? And if I could just try to maybe put myself in their head, I can sort of imagine Peter thinking, well, I'm Peter. I'm the rock. Jesus told me that I'm going to lead the church. Surely I'm not the one who should wash everyone's feet. The disciple James was sitting there and said, well, I'm part of the inner circle. Surely one of the other disciples who isn't as important as I am can do it. You know what? Thomas should do it. He doubts everything anyway. John was probably sitting back in the corner thinking smugly, well, I'm not doing it because I'm the one that Jesus loves. The disciple Andrew was probably thinking, well, wait a second, it shouldn't be me. I'm the one who brought Peter to Jesus in the first place. Disciples were stuck in this positional mentality. They were so busy thinking about all of the reasons and all of the excuses why they could not or should not serve. But Jesus gets up from the table. He steps away and he takes on the lowest, grossest task in the household and he serves his disciples. I want you to think about it for a moment. The man who these disciples had seen heal the sick, the man that they had seen raise the dead, the man that they had seen walk on water, the man who spoke and the seas were still, the man who fed 5,000, the man that they knew was the Son of God. Without hesitation, he took the opportunity and he was willing and he was available to serve. So I want you to hear me this morning. There are so many opportunities here at the Lifeway to serve each other. There's so many opportunities to serve one another. And so I want to ask you this morning, have you found your place? Servant leaders are motivated by love. They're secure. They're willing. And they're available. Going on in our story, verse 12 says this, after washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. Verse 15, watch this. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Here's the fourth and final trait of a servant leader that I want to give you this morning. Number four, they teach servanthood by their example. They teach it by their example. Mom and dad, I love you. Mom and dad sitting here this morning, is your example teaching your children the value of serving others? Is your church attendance teaching them the importance of God's house? Here's the thing this morning, people do what people see. They do what they see. Well, let me just bring it really close to home. Our children will do what they see us do. Your kids will value the things that you value. And I'm just going to really open up and be honest to you this morning. As a pastor, one of the things that breaks my heart is watching our young people walk into this room and they're coming in with so many struggles and so many temptations bombarding them. The generation that we're raising today are facing things that we never dreamed of. And they desperately need godly influence in their lives. They need to hear convicting messages. They need to experience the life transformation that God performs in our service. They need to learn to be a part of a team. They need to learn what it means to serve others. And I watch these kids as their parents who've gotten complacent. I'm the mom, I'm the dad, I know I love Jesus, but I watch as they've gotten complacent in their walk with God, make the decision to miss church for any and every ridiculous reason under the sun. And I've heard it. I've had people call me, well, it's too snowy, so we can't go. It's too rainy, so we can't go. It's too nice, and because it's too nice, because it was rainy and snowy, now we got to work on the yard this week, you know? I've got to get this done. I'm too tired, you know? And I've had teens, I promise, this is the truth. I've had teens in this church come up to me and say, you know what? I'd like to be involved in, and I'd like to serve, but my parents won't bring me. I've watched young people sit in the seats that you're sitting in with tears running down their cheeks, and God is working on their hearts, but because they can't get to church on their own, they're not able to get back to a service for weeks and weeks on end. Come on, shame on us. You might be sitting there saying, well, I don't have kids, so this isn't for me. Shame on you if you're not being an example to when the kids are here. God's called us as a church to serve one another. And so I want to ask this morning, what example are you giving? Or are you going to be like the disciples were that day and sit back and wait for Jesus to get up off the table and serve you and wash your feet? Or are you going to get in the game and say, you know what? I'm going to do it. You know what? Put me in, God. I'm ready to play. I'm ready to make a difference. I know this is a little bit tough. And I want to smile because I want you to know I love you so much. What you need to understand is that God has called us to lead and serve others. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's about leaving a legacy that outlives my days on earth because I invested my time serving and pointing others to Jesus Christ. If you're not convinced, listen to these verses. Not my words, this is the Bible. 1 Corinthians 10:24. Don't be concerned for your own good, but for the good of others. Hebrews 10:24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. There it is, find freedom. Watch this, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Some of us need to remember back where we were, where we came from before Jesus Christ saved our souls, and how desperate and how bad of a place we were in, and how broken and hurt we are. But yet, God, we've come in, and God said, yes, I'll take all your sins away, and God helped us find freedom, but now we just want to sit back and let somebody else do something. Listen, rather, don't sit back, don't use your freedom to judge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in what? That's love. Love. Romans 12:1, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice. God's not asking any of us to go to Calvary.
But he's saying, would your life be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable? This is truly the way to worship him. Romans 12:11, maybe you're not convinced yet. Never be lazy. That pretty much makes it as simple as it can be. Not pastor's word, this is the Bible. Never be lazy, but work hard, and watch this, serve the Lord enthusiastically. We get to do this. We get to serve. We get to point others to Jesus. 1 Peter 4:10, one more. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Tell your neighbor, I have a gift. Tell your second choice, I have a gift. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Watch this. Use them well to sit on the chair at church, right? Use them well to serve one another. So I want you to hear me. You were gifted. You were gifted. You were gifted. We all were gifted with a specific gift to encourage and add value to others. And the way we activate that gifting is by getting involved in serving someone who needs to hear about Jesus. Jesus came to earth. He changed the game. He presented us a countercultural ideology to follow. Jesus said, if you want to save your life, you must lose it. If you want to be lifted up, you must humble yourself. If you want to be the greatest, you must be a servant. If you want to be first, you must be last. If you want to truly live, you must die to self. Jesus said in John 12:24, I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. The heart of servanthood is dying to yourself. Several months ago, a pastor friend of mine posted a leadership quote. And I see great quotes all the time, but when I saw this one, it literally stopped me, and I had to begin to talk to the Lord. It just shook me to my core. I tell you the guy's name who said it, but I can't pronounce it, and I tried all week to learn it, so I just cut that out of my notes. You can look it up online if you want. This is what the quote says. If you want to build a ship, don't drum up people to collect wood. And don't assign them tasks and works, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea. And the reason this impacted me so deeply is because I feel that in some ways I've let you down as a pastor. Because in our effort to plant and build a church, we've invested so much time collecting wood and assigning tasks and getting jobs and checklists completed. And guess what? Yes, work will always need to be done. That day in the upper room, the disciples' feet needed to be washed. We couldn't have church without our amazing, committed dream team who come in faithfully every Sunday, and they set up and they tear down and they build and they follow systems. Dream team, I love you so much. And listen, all of that is important, but hear me. If that's all we're focused on, we've missed the point and we're going to burn out and be a shell of what we could have been. Oh God, give us a vision. Help us to long for the endless immensity of the sea. Connect us, oh God, back to the why. Give us a vision of the thousands of people, God, in our community who are broken and hurting and addicted and depressed and suicidal and far away from you. And God, how will they ever hear the good news of what you've done if I refuse to do my part? God, reconnect us back to the why. Why did you leave the comforts of heaven? Why did you come to earth? Why did you take the lowest form? You came because you love people. I want you to hear me this morning. He didn't come just because he loved people. He came because he loves you, and he loves me, and he loves our children, and our unsaved family, and our extended family, and those that I talk to at work every day, and those I brush elbows with at school. He came because he loves us. That's the why. Jesus has called us, and he's saying, Andrew, would you pick up my cross and follow me? Would you serve others? I wonder what God could do in our church if we learned to long for the immensity of the sea, if we weren't so busy about filling this building as much as we were brokenhearted for those that are hurting and lost around us, if we long for the people who are far away from Jesus. Seth, I want you to run up here real quick. Where are you at? Come stand by me first. For those of you that don't know this, if you can't tell by looking, Seth is my second son. He's 15 years old. He served on the production team just about every single week here at the Lifeway over the last 3 years. This is hard for him. He likes to be in the background. I did clear it with him. I didn't tell him he was going to be grounded if he didn't do this. I gave him plenty of times to have an out. There have been a lot of Sundays where he wasn't feeling well, but he still wanted to come and serve. He still wanted to do his part. And a month ago, I was prepping for this message, and I pulled him into my office, and I said, Seth, would you just mind telling me, because we've never had a serve discussion at our house. Shyla and I, we just... God, there's a need, we just do it. So we it's not even anything we really talk about. And so I asked him, I said, why do you serve? And I want you to listen to some of how he responded. He said, I get to use my gifts for God. I like serving because I can show that anyone, regardless of their age, can find a place to serve. Listen to what he said. I look forward to our setup time and interacting and working together with our team. He said, because I'm serving, I'm connected to what God is doing. Last week, we celebrated our fourth birthday as a church. Today, right now, we are holding our 210th service. I counted them. Seth is the only person in the world who has never missed a single Sunday service at the Lifeway Church. And listen, our family gets to the school. Our family gets to the school every single Sunday morning. We're here before 7:30 a.m. I've got to wake the boys up early. Anybody here have teens? Yeah, waking them up early. Teens love to sleep, right? They love their weekends. But listen, I've never heard him complain. Not one single Sunday has he ever complained. So Seth, I want you to take a seat right here. And I want you to understand, I want you to know this today, that I honor you. I want you to understand that just not as your father, but as a pastor, I'm here to serve you. I'm here to serve you. I want you to understand that as we think about our lives and we think about the people and our family members, God has called us to serve one another in love. And so as a symbol of this, I want to do what Jesus did that day. Let's take your side. So Seth, I see greatness in you. Proud of the man that you're becoming. I'm thankful for the giftings that God has placed in your life. I'm so thankful for your willingness to make a difference. I'm so proud to be your dad, and I'm so proud for everything that you do. And so listen, I want you to understand that God has called you for greatness. God is going to use you to change lives, and eternity is going to be altered because of the life that you live. And so I want you to understand, I am never too busy, and no matter what we have going on, I am here to serve you. And you will be a world changer. The world will be a better place because you lived. You're going to make a mark. You're going to leave a mark that is going to last and outlive the days that God has for you on earth. So this morning, what can you do to serve? Is there anybody here that's willing to grab a towel? Is there anybody willing to say, yes, Jesus, whatever you call me to do, I will do? As I look across this room, thank you, Seth. As I look across this room, it isn't just Seth. It isn't just Seth. All around this room, every single one of you, I see greatness that's waiting to be birthed. I see potential. I see dreams that you buried down deep inside of you. And you thought you've messed up, you've gone too far, you've made too many mistakes. That God, listen, I see those things and God wants to bring them through. You have greatness inside of you. And how do you unlock greatness? You take the posture of a servant and you grab a towel and say, God, whatever you call me to do, whatever you ask me to do, I will say yes, I will go and I will do it. What would happen in this church if we developed an attitude that says, not my will, God, but your will be done. I'll go. I'll serve. I'll do. I'll wash feet. I'll unload carts when it's cold. I'll make people feel wanted by waving in the parking lot in the middle of a snowstorm on Sunday morning. I'll equip the next generation of children. I'll pick up coffee and donuts. I'll move the truck. I'll stand outside and open the door for people in winter. God, I'll do it. I'll be your hands and I'll be your feet. I'll serve. I'll go. I'll do. And here's my promise to you this morning. If you'll go all in, if you'll follow Jesus by serving, it will change your life. You will have a peace. You'll discover a meaning to life that you have never thought possible. So many of us are running to so many things. I know we're over time, but I just feel the Holy Spirit leading me. So many of us are running to different things. We're running to different places, trying to fill a void, and we think it's going to be more money or a better house or a better car or a new boyfriend or a new girlfriend or whatever the case may be. But listen, God is the only thing that can fill that void. But once He fills that void, that deeper place inside of us, that dream. Scripture says, before I formed you in the womb, I called you, I knew you, and I ordained you. You don't have to get up on a Monday morning and say, God, what's the point? Another weekend come and gone, another week. Listen, God has a purpose and He has a plan.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.